Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about a message the Lord has given me, a burden called, Are We to Stop Praying for America? And I want you to know, beloved, that I think the greatest gift that the Lord could give us, besides the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, besides the gift of salvation, I believe the greatest gift that He can give us would be for us to have peace in our land and peace across the earth. And Jesus Christ, we know, is that peace. He is the peace that passes all understanding. And so how do we go about praying for America, that we would have that peace here, that we would know the joy of our relationship with Jesus Christ, that the joy of our salvation would be restored, and that every single person here in America and across the earth would come to know Him. And beloved, other nations on the earth are facing the same dilemma. They're facing the same situation that we are here in America. It's how to seek the peace for their land, how to seek the peace of the Lord Jesus, or some of them don't even know about the peace of the Lord Jesus, how to seek the peace and to establish some type of peace in their land when the world seems to be full of chaos, when the world seems to be full of trouble, when the world seems to be spiraling out of control. And so this message has been placed in my heart. This message has been given me as a burden to speak to America. And I'm not going to give a traditional Christmas message today. There are many others who are doing that. Praise God for that. Most all of us know the Christmas story, and so I'm going to give a message that is more of a prophetic message and a now word from the Lord, and it is a burden on my heart to share this with the people of America so that they can know how to pray, so that they can know, are we to continue praying for America, or has God given up on this great nation? Well, in 1 Timothy, if you have your Bible there, turn it to chapter 2, verse 1. And in this passage of Scripture, God exhorts us to continue to pray for our leaders. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, and for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And so Paul tells Timothy to pray for all who are in authority over us. And so no matter the political persuasion that you are, no matter what your opinion of the leaders are who are in authority over you, whether it's the local leaders, the state leaders, the governor and the legislature, the state assemblies, or if it is our president and the leaders who have been placed over us on a national level, Paul tells Timothy, we are to pray for all men who are in authority over us. And the reason he gives here is that so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Well, I must say, sometimes it's difficult, and many of you know that in your own life, it's difficult to pray for those whose policies you disagree with, and difficult to pray for those who you feel like are inept or incompetent, or maybe even worse than that, deceitful or lying. But Paul says to pray for each and every one of those who are in authority over you. And the reason why is because you never know, beloved, you never know when God might intercede in that person's life and break off any spirit of lying or any spirit of deceit or any spirit of betrayal, whatever demonic spirits or whatever oppression may be oppressing someone in a political office or in a office that is of the government in authority over you. God tells us to pray for them so that He can intercede in their lives, so that He can send His angels to war over them in whatever way He deems necessary, and so that the end result is that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And so We can't just sit and complain. We can't just sit and backbite and criticize every single decision, every single detail of everything that comes down from the higher authorities. We are required and exhorted, that is to say, encouraged to pray for them, that the wisdom of God would be in their heart and in their mind, that the knowledge of the Savior would be in their heart and in their mind. And I dare say if we spent enough time praying for our leaders and less time criticizing and just throwing brickbats at them, I dare say that the situation might be much different, that the situation might be such that God could actually go to work in interceding in the lives of some of these people who obviously don't know Him as their Lord and Savior. And so the end result is that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life, and then we can eventually see the results of our prayers. We can see the results of our leaders turning to the Lord, and they will come to a knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. That is, to a knowledge of repentance, that they would turn from their wicked ways, that they would come to a knowledge of repentance and seek the Lord. And you can imagine even those who are of a different political persuasion, those who are bent in the opposite direction maybe than we are, who even don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Maybe they bow to false gods, gods of Islam or witchcraft or whatever type of gods they give adherence to, that God would intercede in their life, that He would show them that He is real, that He has power. He has power to deliver individuals. He has power to deliver nations. And so as we spend more time in prayer, prayer is really the key to the peace and stability of a nation. Prayer is the key to turning a nation back to God. Prayer is the key to turning individuals back to God, that they can see God, that they can see His face. And so Jesus Christ declares that He is the mediator between God and all men. And this man, Christ Jesus, gave Himself up as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Well, that due time is right now. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you believe that He died on the cross for you and that He shed His precious blood for you, if you believe that He was born of a Virgin Mary and that He came here to save us from our sins, that is the theme and that is the testimony that we speak right now, that Jesus Christ came. He came to live amongst us as God with us, and He came to save us from our sin, and He came to deliver us from the hands of the enemy. Well, I have many people in the past that have asked me this question. Well, Jim, maybe we should just quit praying for America. Maybe it's time to give up on America and just throw up our hands, throw in the towel, and say, God, You take care of America. We don't want to have anything to do with her anymore. She is too soiled. She's too filthy. She's too backslidden, too far down the road of backsliding away from You. And her iniquity is too great, that God will not save her, that God will not intercede. He will not listen to our prayers. And so I want to address that now for those of you who think that it's too late to pray for America. For those of you who think it's futile to pray for America, I want to address that now, and we're going to look at the book of Jeremiah. If you have your Bible, turn it to Jeremiah 7, and we're going to start in verse 3. And this is a prophetic word. The burden of the Lord has been given to me to speak this word to those of you who maybe are tempted to quit praying for America and just want to throw in the towel, and God has given me this burden. He speaks to the prophets, Amos 3:7. I'll speak this scripture before we go into Jeremiah. God always speaks to the prophets, and He lets the prophets know when the time to warn, when the time to bring correction, when is the time to speak a harsh word, or when is the time to speak a building word or an edifying word. And so the prophets are those who hear from God, and besides His holy word, besides the Bible, the canonized scripture, God still speaks to the prophets today. He still uses men and women who are listening to the Lord to speak the Word of God to the body of Christ, and so it is today. Amos 3:7 says, "Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to the servants, the prophets." Verse 8, "A lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy?" And so if God gives you a prophetic word, which he does to just about all of his children at one time or another, some people have more of a office gift of prophecy and an anointing of prophecy, but everybody who claims to be a believer in Jesus Christ as their Lord, you have the gift of prophecy. You have that spirit of prophecy within you. It comes with your knowledge and with your relationship with Jesus Christ. You have that spirit of prophecy. And so when you hear prophetic word spoken, when you hear those words spoken to you and to the body of Christ, they resonate in you with that prophetic unction, with that prophetic word that is resident within you. And so you know if somebody's speaking the words of God, or you know if somebody's speaking falsehood, and so you know when the word of the Lord is being laid out for a people to bring correction, to bring edification, exhortation, and consolation. And all of those things are desired by the Lord. He wants to build up the body of Christ. He wants us to be stronger. He wants us to wake up and see not only what is going on here in America, but what is going on across the earth, how the devil is ramping up his attempts to take people away from the body of Christ, how the devil is ramping up his desire to disrupt people's walk with the Lord. And God also wants us to speak exhortation, that is to encourage people in their walk, and also consolation, to console people who have been broken and people who are suffering mightily, suffering from illness or suffering from rejection or suffering from betrayal or suffering from hurt, that they've been hurt by people in the body of Christ or people in the church. And so the prophet is sent to speak a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation, and a word of edification to build up, and a word of consolation to console those who are broken in their walk with the Lord. Well, Jeremiah 3:7, Jeremiah speaks for the Lord to the people of Israel, and he says to them, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will allow you or cause you to dwell in this place. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, and if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, if you do not oppress the fatherless and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk with other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever." And so God was saying to the children of Israel, he was saying, if you walk with me, if you keep my commandments, and you seek me, and you follow after me, and you do not go chasing after other gods, then the Lord says, I will honor you, I will respect your behavior, your attitude, your desire to walk with me, I will acknowledge that you are seeking me, and the Lord says, I will cause, or I will allow you to dwell in this place that I gave for your fathers, in this land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. And so if you think about America, just think about and contemplate where we are in America in relation to our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we executing judgment between a man and his neighbor? In other words, is there righteous judgment? Is there justice here in America? Can people expect justice here when they go to the courts, when they go to a jury trial, or when they are arrested by the police, can they expect justice? That is the first thing that God asks of the Israelites. Are you executing justice between a man and his neighbor? Are you oppressing a stranger? Do you take care of the stranger in your midst? Well, we have many, many people here in America that are homeless, living on the streets. I believe, you know, America is a very generous nation. We've allowed many, many immigrants into this nation. Praise God for that. There are some that we don't need to allow into this nation that are obvious threats to the safety and security of people here in this nation, but overall we have been very generous to allow people to come into this nation and to establish their lives here and establish their homes here. And so we have not oppressed a stranger. The fatherless, the orphans, have we taken care of the orphans? And mostly, for the most part, we have here in America. We have taken care of the orphans. Many, many people are in foster care. They are there because they didn't have a good home. And so they have been given to other families to take care of them. They've been given to families even to adopt them and call them their own. And so that is a great thing that we have stepped up to take care of the fatherless. And the widow, do we take care of the widows? Yes, for the most part we do. We have great Social Security. We have great medical programs, Medicare, Medicaid, all these types of programs that benefit the elderly. And so we have taken care of the widow to a large degree. Do we not shed innocent blood? I can't say that we are virtuous in that regard. We have shed innocent blood. We're still continuing to shed innocent blood. That needs to be corrected immediately. That needs to be changed. If I could wave a magic wand, that would be the first thing that I would do in America, is stop legal abortion on demand. I would stop it immediately if I had that power. And so I think we need to really double down on our prayers there to expose the plans of the enemy to trick women and to deceive women into thinking abortion is good for them and good for their child. We need to declare and decree that abortion shall be stopped, that God will put a stop to it, that all the plans of the enemy shall be exposed, the plans of Planned Parenthood and other organizations that are responsible for the abortions here in America, that they be stopped, that they be defunded, and that there will be no more shedding of innocent blood in this place. If we could be in agreement with that, I believe God would do a mighty thing if we, as a nation, declared legal abortion to be a thing of the past here in America. And then lastly, do we walk after other gods to our hurt? Well, I can say that there's many people who don't worship Jehovah God, and there's many people that do not believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Every year there is less and less people in America who claim to be Christian and claim to be born-again believers. There's less and less people who go to church and attend church on a regular basis. And so I believe we need to really stand in the gap that God's word would prevail here, that people would not chase after other gods. They would not chase after gods of witchcraft and gods of materialism and consumerism and other pagan gods. And I believe that if we spent more time in prayer and fasting and crying out for the people in this nation to see the one true God, that their hearts would be turned back to him. Well, Jeremiah 7, verse 9, God asks this question of his children: will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense to Baal, that is the false god, the pagan god Baal, will you burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Well, God is just saying, I delivered you from the hand of your enemy, America. I delivered you from the hand of despotic dictators, Hitler and Mussolini and the Japanese who tried to attack this nation. I delivered you from the hand of the enemies within your nation, the conflict at the Civil War that tried to break up this nation and take it down. And God is just saying, I have delivered you from all of these. And is it just so that you can continue to steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods? God says, no, I didn't deliver you from all of these abominations so that you could continue to turn away from me, and you could continue to receive my grace and continue to sin. That's just greasy grace is what it is. It is not God's idea of grace. God's idea of grace is that he delivers us from abominations, not so that we can continue to do more, not so that we can continue to backslide and live in our wicked ways and whatever wicked lifestyles that we want. But God continues to give us grace so that we can turn back to him, so that we can come to know him. And in Romans 6, verse 1, Paul, the Apostle Paul, says, What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And so Paul is saying that when you commit your life to Jesus Christ, when you say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior, that you're not only committing to Him as your Lord and Savior, but you're committing to holiness just as He is holy. We strive to be holy, and we continue to try to live a life or that emulates the life of Jesus Christ and models for others the life of Jesus Christ. And so we don't receive God's grace with the idea that, well, now we've got another day that we can continue to sin, that we've received His grace for the abominations that we have committed, and we continue to look for ways to sin. We continue to go down our backslidden path because we assume that God is going to continue to give us more grace. It is not God's will that that happen. We who are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to stop sinning. We need to come to His holy temple and say, Lord, You give me the strength to stop sinning. You give me the strength to live a better life, a holy life, a righteous life. And You give me the strength to do what I can't do for myself. In verse 11, Jeremiah 7, Jeremiah says, has this house which is called by my name, he's speaking for the Lord here, has this house which is called by my name become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, says the Lord. And verse 15, I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out all of your brethren, the whole posterity of Ephraim, or the whole posterity of the house of Israel. I will cast you out of my sight. Verse 16. Now here's the key scripture for this whole passage. Therefore, God tells Jeremiah, do not pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. Let me repeat that. Therefore, do not pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. Well, invariably, when people ask me, Jim, is it time to quit praying for America? Should we just stop praying altogether? America is too backslidden. They're too far gone. This is a scripture that they've read where God instructed Jeremiah to tell the people of Israel that He will not hear the prayers any longer for these people, that they are too backslidden. He says, I will not hear the prayer. If you make intercession, if you cry out to me, if you lift up a prayer for them, I will not hear you. Well, there comes a time when God gets frustrated and He runs out of patience. There's a time when God says, I will not hear your prayers anymore. And I hope and pray, beloved, that that time never comes for America. I hope and pray, even if there is just a small remnant here of people who truly love the Lord, and if there is just a small remnant here of people who truly seek the Lord, that He will hear their prayer and He will honor their prayer and He will listen when they cry out to Him and He will hear them when they intercede. And I pray, beloved, that that time is not now. I don't feel like it is now. I don't feel like that God has given up on America. The greatest Christmas gift besides the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, that greatest gift that we could all have for Christmas this year is peace and stability in this land, and to see people in mass, in droves, in huge numbers, turn back to the Lord and seek Him and not just come into Christmas worship on that day, on that weekend, but to come into Christmas with the idea that I'm going to turn back to the Lord with my whole heart, strength, mind, and soul. I'm going to seek the Lord with everything that I have. Not just this day. Not just because of this holiday. Not just because I have a tree in my house and nice packages under the tree. But we're coming back to the Lord to seek Him with all of our heart, strength, mind, and soul. And to seek His blessing on our life. And that we can bless His kingdom with our life here on this earth. Beloved, it is my joy to bring these messages to you week after week. I hope I can continue to do that as a listener-supported radio ministry. I look forward to hearing from you. I need to hear from you, and just let me know that you listen, that you appreciate these broadcasts. There's a lot of different ways that you can get in touch with Gather the Outcasts Radio Ministry through our website, gatheredtheoutcasts.com, through the blog, jimrowe.blogspot.com. We have a great book offer right now. We'll send you a free book of our Africa Mission Crusades and Revivals, Gather the Outcasts, Reaching the Lost in Africa. With a donation of any amount, we'll send this book to you, and we'll have it in your hands within just a few days. And so we appreciate you listening. We thank the Lord for this broadcast. We thank the Lord for each and every one of you, and I hope to hear from you soon. Thank you for listening again. God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas. Tune in again next week, and have a great week.